I want to ask you guys all something this morning. Who here has a best friend? Hands up. Really, really push the questions on you this morning. We got a few. So I want to share a little story about my best friend. Does anybody know my friend Joash Rushton? Does anybody know Joash? He's kind of a card. You kind of can't really ignore him. In a lot of ways, you really can't ignore him. Just 1 second here. And so Joash, me and him have been doing things together for a very, very long time now. We have been best friends since I was, since 2016. I don't even remember what age I was at that point. But we've been best friends since then for a very, very long time. And just 1 second, my notes are giving me a bit of an issue here. Perfect. So me and Joash have been friends for a super, super long time. But one of the things with me and Joash is that we do a lot of things together, like a ton of things together. And you guys, with your best friends, you guys might do a lot of things together as well. But with your best friend, you may notice something, that the more things that you do together, the more that your best friend isn't really your best friend anymore. And you actually start to dislike this friend so much so that you're just like, I want to put your head through a wall. Like every time that you see them. And so me and Joash, we've had to kind of work things out well, because me and Joash, I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here, you guys, if you can turn me down a little bit. With me and Joash, we've been best friends for so long. We do so many things together that it can be a little bit of a roadblock sometimes. Let me just give you guys a little bit of a background to me and Joash. Me and him are youth pastors for the youth group that we run with this church. So we've been youth pastors together for like 5 years. We used to make music together. So we used to be music producers. We run a facility in town. So we're facility managers together. Me and Joash run a business together. We have the same hobbies. We do a ton of stuff together. So as you can see, things can get a little bit interesting when we're doing things all the time. We probably see each other. Some days I feel like I see Joash more than I see my own wife. So that can be a little bit of an issue, right? But here's the thing, is that something really interesting just happened not too long ago. Some of you guys know, some of you guys don't know. Me and my wife moved into a new place. So you guys might know where this is going here. So we end up moving into this new place. We just need something a little bit bigger, something a little bit, better with multiple bedrooms. I'm not saying that we're having a kid, because we're not. But hey, you know, sometime in the future, so don't get after me about that. But we need to move into a bigger place. This place comes on the market. We're like, yes, finally, something that's like reasonably affordable for the awful rent in Pincher Creek. So we get this place and we're looking in, we're contacting the landlord. And we then realize that this place is right below Joash and his wife, Shay. And it's the only place that's popped up for months that's been in our price range. So we have a conversation. Hey, would you guys be okay if we moved below you? And they're like, sure. I know you guys have been looking for a place for a long time now. But with that being said, so we move into this place. And I actually have to say it's been really good. We've had a lot of people tell us, that's a really bad idea. You shouldn't do that. It actually hasn't been that bad. Here are some of the positives about it. Joash can come downstairs in the morning and he can just have a meeting with me about youth, about our business, about the facility that we manage. And it's not a big deal. But here's the drawback of that. I just saw this man 8 hours ago. And I'm like, stay out of my house, man. But at the same time, it's been such a convenience. Along with that, you also have the renter troubles of the upstairs people. And you, when you're downstairs, you hear absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. And without this, I don't want to make fun of them or anything, and Joash understands, but they have a dog upstairs. And this dog, it's not just a nice little Shih Tzu. It's not just a nice little like Pomeranian or like a nice little dog. They have a Great Dane upstairs. And whenever that dog barks, the entire house shakes, right? And so when we're sitting down there, we're like trying to go to bed or something. And the dog's like kennel is like just right above us, basically. So the dog's just like shaking the kennel because this thing is massive, jumping around. And like it's got like when it walks, it just sounds like a human walking like upstairs. You just hear this thumping. But here's the thing is that I want to let you guys know one thing, even though this is kind of a funny scenario. Well, I do bad things as well. Like I spray painted in the shared room and it made the entire house smell like spray paint. But okay, so there's things on both sides. But I want to share with you guys one thing is that even though this has been, it's been a funny but also kind of frustrating time and a good time as well, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And the reason I'm telling you guys I would never trade this for anything is the fact that because the four of us run a youth group together, I have never felt as unified with my youth leaders ever. Now, what I'm not telling you is to go move into someone's house that goes to the same church as you. Don't do that, unless God calls you. But what I am saying is that even though there have been some difficulties, maybe some privacy that I feel like I don't have, at the same time, I've never felt more united and encouraged in ministry than I am right now with my fellow youth pastors being right upstairs from me. It feels like we're a family, and it feels like our youth ministry is thriving because we are so connected, and it connected in more ways than just having a like having rental troubles, but actually it's kind of like living with a family, right? Even though you might want to bash your brother's face in sometimes or yell at your mom or something like that, at the same time, you will never be more connected with them than you are when you're living with them. And I have to say, I've right at this very point in my life, I've never felt as encouraged in ministry as I do right now. One of the things I want to share with you guys today, we're talking about Pentecost Sunday today. We're in a series called Church on Fire that Pastor Stephen started last week, and it's been absolutely fantastic getting into how we are to be sent. One of the points I want to share with you guys today is this idea of being encouraged in ministry, encouraged in growth together. But before we get into that, let's just pray quick. Thank you, Lord. I ask right now, God, that as we here as a congregation and me speaking, we're here, we ask that you bless us. But I also ask, God, that through this time that we can worship you and we can grow closer to you together. Thank you, God, so much for today. We bless your name in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, God. I want to share some really cool stories coming up. But one of the things I do want to say is that in this series about Church on Fire, there's something really interesting happening here, because as you guys know, some of you guys know, we're on a day of the church calendar called Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. And Pastor Stephen shared last week, he shared three really, really fantastic points last Sunday, he shared those points. And for me, I was listening to them, I was writing them down, I'm like, man, Pastor, you go, these points are so good. The first one he shared was wait. Wait for God. Wait on him. The second point that he shared was be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and be empowered. And the third point that he shared was go out. And I was like, yes, Pastor, amen. Those are great points. And then when I was writing my message this week, I'm like, Pentecost. That I don't know if that's going to make as good of points. And so before we get into what I want to talk about today, let's do a quick Pentecost 101, because I know even as a church person and even someone who's been through Bible college, it's something that I have to look back on. What is Pentecost? What is its importance, and why on earth do I need it, especially in the middle of a series called Church on Fire? One of the things you guys may notice about Pentecost is that, well, we're in a Pentecostal church. So for some of you guys, you may have made the correlation that, oh, it's Pentecost. Today is Pentecostal church day. And we do Pentecostal church day things on this day. Unfortunately, it's not Pentecostal church day today. It's actually a day in the Christian and the Jewish calendar. And this day, it's really interesting because it happens 50 days after the day of Passover. And for us in the modern day, we can kind of correlate Passover to the time that Jesus died. So almost like Easter, right? Or Good Friday. We can correlate that to then. So Passover is a day that happens 50 days after Passover. And it's a festival. It's called the Festival of First Fruits. And it's a Jewish and it's a Christian holiday. We kind of viewed it a little bit differently together. But I want to bring this point across to you guys and ask you kind of a question as we get into the message here, is why is Pentecost required for us to be a church on fire? And I want you guys to ask that as we're going through this message, why is the day of Pentecost required for us as a church to be on fire for God, to be on fire for God's mission, to be on fire for saving, for having people get saved, on fire for seeing people get healed and having miracles happen? Why is Pentecost required for this? Let's just start out quickly here. Let's go back into some of the scripture that we read last Sunday. This is what Acts 1 chapter verse 4 to 5 says. It says, while he was with them, that's Jesus, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Cool. This is what's happening. In a few days, Jesus is talking to his then disciples, soon to be apostles. Hey, in a few days, you guys are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Like, these guys are like, what on earth is going on? What the heck is this Holy Spirit? And how on earth can we get baptized with the Holy Spirit? We've already been baptized. I want to share here, going right into Acts chapter 2, this next chapter, this next progression. And this is what it says the day of Pentecost is for Christians here. It says in Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place. They were in the place the Bible calls the upper room. Suddenly, a sound like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. That's pretty crazy. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in different tongues or languages. That's a little bit more crazy. As the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Galileans in that day were kind of looked at like the dummies. Like, they were like, no go, no education. Aren't these people Galileans? How is it that each can hear them in our own native language? What had happened in this moment was a promise came true. We'll get into this in a second. But the Holy Spirit came and it covered these people. And people were so astonished. But I want to share two major points with you guys today about what Pentecost is. It's not just a festival, because Pentecost, well, in the calendar it is. But for us to be a church on fire, Pentecost is so much more than just a festival or a holiday. It's a turning point. It's a tipping point. It's a catalyst for great things that are coming in the church and are coming now and are happening now and have happened. I keep on going. But I want to share two fantastic points about this. But let's continue reading in scripture and I'll show you the first. It says in Acts 2, 12 to 13, they were all astounded and perplexed. All these people who were hearing their own native languages, and these Galileans who should have no clue how to speak these languages, they're perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But some sneered and said, they're drunk on new wine. Now, I want to ask you guys quickly, when I think of someone who's drunk, I don't usually think of someone speaking a very fluent language. I usually think of something, that's usually what I think. I used to live in Edmonton, and it was a very popular scene on the side of the street. I don't really ever remember someone speaking a different language. But they were all perplexed, and they were making up excuses, being like, these guys must be on, like, they must be drunk or something. But here, I want to share with the first point, and the first point is that Pentecost is a sign of the come Holy Spirit. That's the first thing that we have to realize that Pentecost is. It's a promise that has been fulfilled. Jesus Christ, in that first portion of scripture I read, Acts 1, 4 to 5, he promised that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll be empowered for ministry. This is what Peter says, one of the 11 at that time. It says, Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and proclaimed to them, fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And this is what Joel says, and it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those last days, both men and women, they will prophesy. I will display wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is what Peter's saying. Right after all this fantastic stuff occurs, he's like, hey guys, they're not drunk. This was stated in the Old Testament. This was prophesied about, that this will happen. And guess what? We're here. It's happening right now. This Pentecost is a sign of the Holy Spirit's coming. The Holy Spirit has come. We no longer have to look back as a church right now and a church throughout history and be like, man, is the Holy Spirit here? Can I really go out and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Can I really be encouraged by the Holy Spirit? Is God really with me? Let me tell you, God is with you. God will be with you, and he is with you. So if you're ever questioning, man, God feels so far away, Peter confirms that God is with us. God is with us. But let me tell you, this isn't all. In my study, in my research, this is only a part of, and even a smaller part of, the whole picture that's happening here. I want to share with you guys this second point, but let's continue reading a scripture here. Acts 2:37-41 says, when they heard this, these are the people that Peter was preaching to. He had said a whole nother, like a massive sermon. I would read it to you, but with my voice being the way it is, we'd probably be here forever. But it says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation, so that those who accepted this message were baptized. And that day, 3,000 of them were added to their number. Wow, there's only 42 people here or something like that. Could we imagine if 3,000 people came to Christ? Like, when I was up in Edmonton, there was a church, it was called Hope City. And on a regular Sunday, that church only had 2,000 people in its building, and its facility was massive. Could we imagine if there was 3,000 people that came to Christ in one sitting? That is a fantastic number. That's like Pincher Creek right there, coming to Jesus. Like, that's absolutely amazing. But here's the second point I want to share with you. It's that the Holy Spirit gives us power for ministry. This, for me, is the major part of this whole story. Yes, there's a sign. The Holy Spirit is a promise. And my goodness, I'm so thankful. I would be nothing without him. But at the same time, this isn't just a sign that we take and we treat loosely like a novelty. It's actually a gift for the empowerment of ministry. That's exactly what it is. Is Pentecost, the day, gives the church the call for ministry. It gives us the power for ministry. And I want to share two examples of this we can see right in the story. One is that as the Holy Spirit came on all of these people in the upper room, I think that the rough estimate was there was around 100 to 120 people in the upper room that day, all praying for God and waiting on God. And when the Holy Spirit came on these people, they started speaking in different languages. And all of a sudden, all these people around this building started to hear this voice and this amazing like symphony of different languages rise up. And they were shocked. How are these Galileans able to speak in these different languages? And I want to tell you one thing, is that speaking those different languages was not for no purpose. It wasn't just a cool sign. Speaking in those different languages was a catalyst to have these people's attention put right on God. It was a catalyst to be able to show these people that there was a miracle happening, get their attention, and direct them to what Peter was about to say. The Holy Spirit coming gives us power for ministry. If those people had not never spoken in tongues, those 3,000 people very well may have never been saved, because there wouldn't have been that shock miracle factor that happened. But God will work. The second part I want to share is Peter. Who knows who Peter was as kind of what his how his character was in the New Testament? Just kind of think about that for a second. Peter, as we kind of know him, was this real tough guy, right? He was this tough guy that would always try to, we should go into battle. We should like destroy the Romans. We should really like get back at all these people that are trying to harm Jesus. But then we find out that Peter really isn't this tough guy. He's actually a big coward hiding behind this big, the ego that he has. Especially we see it right at Jesus is being taken away to the temple before he dies. And Jesus says, you will... not disobey, what's the word I'm looking for? Deny, that's right, thank you. I haven't preached for 8 months, give me some slack, you guys. You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And of course, what happens? Peter goes out and people are asking him, hey, you must be that guy that was with Jesus. And Peter's like, no, I'm not. And he does this 3 times, denies Jesus 3 times, and the rooster crows. and Peter's automatically convicted. But what we see is that Peter, in that moment, was a coward. But on the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter gets up in front of these 3,000 plus people, and he proclaims the gospel to them. And he says, I am a follower of Jesus. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you guys. That's what he says. And what the Holy Spirit's done here, it wasn't just the speaking of tongues and everyone's like, wow, I'm so shocked. I got to give my life to God. No, the Holy Spirit encouraged the disciples, then apostles, to preach. It wasn't just tongues. It was encouragement for the gospel. He gives us the power for ministry, not just in miracles, but in ourselves. Right? Wow. God's amazing. I can say directly that this has happened to me. Can I tell you guys kind of about my Pentecost event in my own life? I wouldn't say it was a Pentecost, but it was me being filled with the Holy Spirit. When I was young, I always found a lot of pleasure in my mom or my grandma reading me these stories of Acts or the New Testament and these miracles happening. And I remember pretty clearly when I was somewhere in that like 6 to 10 range, when I'd be like, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And I want to be able to speak in other languages. And God, help me to heal my friend's boo-boo or something like that. But here's the thing is that in those days when I was younger, all I wanted was to look good. All I wanted was for myself to be the cool kid on the block. And of course, I was 6 to 10. And before we continue on, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, because there's so many in the New Testament, whether it is speaking in tongues, or whether it is people being healed, or whether it is a miracle or prophecy happening, let us not disregard how cool those gifts are. Without a doubt, I can't even say, like, man, those gifts are absolutely stellar. Like, when I've seen someone be healed when I was up in Edmonton, or even in this church, when someone's leg is fixed, or if someone starts speaking in tongues, or if someone starts prophesying, I'm like, wow, that is absolutely amazing. Let's not disregard how amazing these gifts are, but let us also not disregard that these gifts are not just for us. I remember growing older, I started to get my relationship with Jesus back together. And I was really being involved in this church and being involved with a lot of people's lives and talking to people about Jesus every day, especially at the Tillett Co-op. I used to say to everyone, God bless you, when they would leave the Tillett Co-op. And some people didn't like that very much. That was a little bit of an interesting story. But in the night times of co-op, there is these two guys from Northern Africa that used to come in, and they would be the janitors and they would clean. And I would talk to them for a few minutes before they started their shift. And they were really, really nice guys. But I was beginning to learn more and more about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like, wow, these are real. I've been hearing rumors of people speaking in tongues and healing people and what happened at Pentecost. Like, could this stuff all be real? And here's my thing. I was so terrified at this point in my life that I was going to come to one of these Northern African guys and I was just going to start speaking in tongues to them just automatically. And like, I was so terrified that was just going to happen. I was going to be like just speaking an African language. So there was a point that I just didn't even go to talk to these guys anymore because I was so terrified this was going to happen. It was terrifying. Just imagine yourself just starting to speak in a different language. And I was just completely like hyping myself up way too much. But at the same time, what was I neglecting? I was neglecting the first part of Pastor Stephen's message yesterday. Yesterday, why do I keep saying that? Sunday. Wait. Wait. It's not be filled, then wait. It's wait, then be filled. I was rushing the process, and in my brain, I was like, Lord, I really want your Holy Spirit. Give it to me right now. Give it to me this second. But here's the thing is I wasn't ready to receive that. My heart posture was not adjusted for God's heart posture. I wasn't ready to receive this Holy Spirit because my pride was getting in the way. Because I wasn't humble. And I was hyping myself up and I was so terrified about this when in reality, I was never going to receive it anyway. Because I was rushing the process. Now, here's the cool story. I remember on a very unexpected day, I had started beginning the process to run an alpha group in my home. My mom and my dad were going to allow me and my friend Joash to run this alpha in our house. And I was praying. I was like, God, I need encouragement. I wasn't even praying for the filling of the Spirit. I was like, God, I need encouragement. I need you to help me. And I remember there was one day I pulled up into my nan's driveway. I don't even think I've ever told her this, but I pulled up into her driveway, and there was just a moment of silence. And all of a sudden in myself, I felt this jolt in my chest. And all of a sudden, I started speaking this weird Chinese language, this like Mandarin or Indonesian language or something. And I had no clue what was going on. I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. But little did I know that it was at that moment, at a random moment, when I pulled up into my nan's driveway, that my heart posture changed. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but in a moment, there was a humility that set on me. And God used it and he utilized it, because with that encouragement, I was capable of going into the alpha that I was about to run and have the power for ministry and have the blessing of God on me for ministry to talk to all these kids that were going to be coming. And at that point, when we finished this alpha, there was four or five kids that got saved and a kid that got healed. It was so fantastic. But I fear that if I didn't have that heart posture, those things would have never happened. There's one thing, and I said it before, but the filling of the Holy Spirit in North America, especially in some churches, it becomes more of a novelty than anything. And the Holy Spirit is not being used to what he desires us to use him for, and for him to use us. The Holy Spirit to us seems like a novelty because these gifts seem really cool and nothing else. I remember that's how I used to see it. And through these stories I've just shared with you guys, I used to see the Holy Spirit and the giftings that came with this day of Pentecost as a novelty, not as a real life example of empowerment for ministry. And when I had this humility fall over me, my heart posture changed. Something in me changed. You guys, the Holy Spirit and everything that comes with this all has to do with our heart posture. The reason that these people on the day of Pentecost changed their ways, repented, was because their heart changed. God changed their heart. God changed the apostles' hearts. In that upper room, while they were waiting, I want to steal your message for a second, but while they were waiting and they were praying and they were obeying God, it gave them the capacity to be filled. And through that filling, we can see that the entire church began to expand because they went out. I want to share something with you guys. If you want Pentecost because of pride, there will be no Pentecost for you. I know that's a hard word. That is a very hard word. But if you're going along your life and you're like, Holy Spirit, fill me, but you are full of pride, you will never receive the Holy Spirit. You will never, ever receive this. You might feel his presence. You might feel God. But if you have pride, you can't allow him in. You are still sitting on the throne of your own heart, not God. Let me encourage you today in that. Allow yourself to be humbled. It's not an easy word to hear. And I bet any money that the people on the day of Pentecost, these 3,000 people, it wasn't an easy word as well. We can even just see that it says, what do we do? What do we do about this? And let me tell you what Peter says, repent and believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent. Lastly, Pentecost is something, it's so dear to our hearts, especially as a Pentecostal church, because if, for a little bit of context, a Pentecostal church, we focus very heavily on the giftings of the Spirit, and especially the giftings in use with ministry. The day of Pentecost, it's something that's really, it's really close to our hearts, but it is one of those things that is so easy for us to treat as a novelty, just like I had previously said. And we cannot treat it like a novelty. I want to share just this bottom line with you guys today. For us, the coming of the Holy Spirit has almost nothing to do with just the gifts, but it has everything with us completing our mission. It's not just the gifts. It's not just a novelty. It has everything to do with us completing our mission for God. It has everything to do with us being a church on fire. We cannot have a church on fire unless we acknowledge the importance of Pentecost. We cannot be a church on fire unless we realize that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just be honest, as a Pentecost church, let's just own it. Let's own our heritage. Pentecost is a vital part of our church. Today, if you have been hearing this message and it has pierced you to the heart, whether you're new here or you've been here for a long time now, I want to encourage you that there is a God who is closer than a brother. There is a God who sees you, and there is a God that wants to empower you in your own life, not just for ministry, but for your life. Who wants to empower you through your difficulties, but also empower you through your amazing times. Right now, we're going to have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. And I'm going to give an opportunity for anybody today who has been hearing this message that wants to receive Jesus Christ as their God, and they want to receive Jesus Christ as their soul creator. Pray with me, everyone, today. No looking around, all your eyes closed. Pray this along with me. Jesus, I ask you right now to be with me forever. I no longer want to be a sinner. I repent for all I've done. God, I ask you to be my best friend. I ask you to be my one and only God. Jesus, change me. Jesus, I need you. And Jesus, I give you all of me. I ask you to give all of yourself to me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If any of you received Jesus as your one and only Savior, I want you to put your hand up today. We'd love to get connected with you. Awesome. That's amazing. And before we leave, I want to pray once again, especially going into ministry. Let's just be honest with our church. We are a church that is bound for ministry. We're Abundant Springs Community Church. We're the church in Pincher Creek that is community focused and community bound. Let's not become a cold church. Let's stay a church on fire. Let's continue burning for God. And almost metaphorically, let's let these licks of flame burn above our heads so they can be visible to everyone, that we're on fire for God, and that we will not allow Pentecost to just be something of pride, but something of utmost humility for God's ministry. Let's wait, let's be filled, and let's go out like the disciples, then apostles did. I want to pray for a fresh renewal of the Holy Spirit in this church today. I want to pray for a Pentecost-like event to happen in this church today, where we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Whether you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit or you already have, I want to pray for you guys. Before we enter this time, I want to take about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and just quiet our hearts before God, okay?
Thank you, God.
God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're with us and that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Lord, I ask right now for us as a congregation to repent and to believe and to be saved. Even if we've been here for forever, or we're the newest people on the block, God, I ask right now that we will repent, we will believe, and we will be saved. and we will be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Right now, I ask God, we are welcoming you in. Though we have not had the days on days of prayer and obedience like the disciples had in the upper room, God, what we have here is a humble heart. God, I ask, fill these people with your Holy Spirit. Fill me and our leadership team with your Holy Spirit even more, God. Fill us to the brim. I ask right now, Jesus, thank you for your power. And thank you for your goodness. Holy Spirit, come on these people today, on this congregation, and lead us in humility. Thank you, Lord. Be with us. Thank you, God.